Here's the funny thing about golf. Sometimes your biggest wins are completely unexpected. Let's take Connor Burgess's victory at the 2023 State Open of Virginia and Independence Golf Club as an example. Burgess entered Sunday's final round 3 shots back of leader Scott Shingler. At that point, all you could do is post the best number you can and let the rest of the leaderboard sort itself out. And there's no doubt that Burgess just went for it that day. He opened the round by going birdie, bogey, par, eagle, held it together through the middle of the round with 2 more birdies and 2 more bogeys. Then he surged at the end, making 3 straight birdies to end his day with a 5-under par 66, tied for the low round of the tournament. He was clubhouse leader at 10-under 203, but there were several players left on the course who could match or beat that number. Burgess started the day in the third-to-last threesome, so after sinking his birdie putt on 18, he retreated to the patio outside Tavern 19 at Independence and waited nervously, hoping his score would be good enough to join a playoff. That's when things kind of got weird. Ryland Shim, playing in the penultimate grouping, three-putted 18 from 25 feet for a bogey that dropped him to 9-under overall. Then Justin Leroux came to the 18th tee, needing a birdie on the par 4 hole to claim victory or a par to force a playoff. Both options were pretty much off the table after Leroux hit his drive deep into a penalty area right of the fairway. Leroux hit his 3rd shot into a greenside bunker, and when he couldn't hole out from there, Burgess was able to excel and celebrate, at the time, his most important professional victory. I'm Chris Lang, the VSGA's Manager of Media and Communications, and welcome to this episode of the Golf in the Commonwealth podcast. Why rehash the finish of last year's State Open? It was a crucial springboard for Burgess's drive to earn his way onto the Korn Ferry Tour. After winning at Independence, he went on to earn medalist honors at the Stage 2 Q School qualifier, earning him guaranteed starts early in this year's Korn Ferry Tour season. Connor grew up in Lynchburg, playing at Boonesboro Country Club, where he honed his game and became one of Virginia's top junior golfers. He was the VSGA Junior Boys Golfer of the Year in 2016 and enjoyed a strong career at Virginia Tech before turning professional. We recorded this interview on Thursday, April 10th, on a Korn Ferry off week. After a rough start to the season, Burgess made his first Korn Ferry cut last week in Savannah, Georgia, and he'll compete in next week's Lacombe Sunclose Classic at Lakewood National Golf Club in Florida. It's a crucial event, as the tour will go through a priority reshuffle at the conclusion of the event. Another made cut will likely secure his Korn Ferry status for the rest of the season. Connor talks about his Lynchburg roots, the State Open win, the difficulty in early season travel on the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, several events are held in the Southern Hemisphere. And what he needs to do to build off last week's momentum. Let's get right to our interview with Connor Burgess. All right, sitting here at Independence Golf Club with Connor Burgess. Connor, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Hey, man. Before we get into your professional career, let's look a little bit back at how you got here. I know you grew up in playing at Boonesboro Country Club in Lynchburg. Who were some of your mentors and coaches and people that really got you into the game there?
Yeah, so, I would just go back to my dad and grandfather. Started pretty young, just like most people would probably say. And then started working early there with John Kamenacki for a little while, and then kind of started moving on to some other guys, like in college, Brad Redding helped me get to where I am today. And now taking it even a step further from that, been working with a swing coach out of Jupiter Hills who works with several guys on tour and whatnot. So the game is just kind of evolving now, and new ideas are always, you know, important to, I guess, listen to. So,
yeah. What are some of those new ideas that you're kind of incorporating?
When I was younger, it used to be more swing position stuff, and now it's more how can we maintain the body and how can we move the body in the correct way. Just done a lot of strength training and flexibility stuff, so it's worked out well.
You had a lot of high level success as a junior golfer. I know you made the USAM and the US Junior in the same year, correct?
I did.
Won the Fox Plus at Boonesboro when you were a junior. Junior golfer, I mean, how did that early success kind of help you in your transition to college golf? Because I know you came in and contributed right away at Tech.
Right, yeah. I mean, looking back on it now, I wish I could have the USAM and US Junior AM back and played a little better. But those two events kind of jump-started my career, I would say. I was probably 16 when I played in those, and 16-year-olds now of days I feel like are – way better than they were back then, just based off of from what I've seen. Obviously it was nice playing in the Fox Plus. That was just kind of a confidence builder for the most part, because I felt like I would have a chance every year. But it's pretty important to have, some success as a junior, but it's not, end all be all if you don't, because, everybody peaks at different times. So,
yeah. I know a lot of guys come through either through private school golf or through academies and things like that. You played public school golf at EC Glass. I mean, how did that kind of mold your experience going through and playing against your friends and
right.
compatriots and things like
that. Right. So obviously I was there with, you know, Jimmy Massey, who, you know, we grew up playing together, and he played at UVA. I think the fact that he was there, we kind of just more or less competed against each other, which, you know, made us both better and, you know, made us get to where we were today. I know he took a different route, but, you know, public golf is probably a little different than high school golf, just practice-wise. You know, it's kind of like, let's just go play, and there's not much intense practice involved unless you're doing it on your own. So college was obviously a little different, and now it's even more different to that extent as well. So,
yeah. So did you and Jimmy kind of step out on your own a little bit and do that extra practice, especially having the tools that you had at Boonesboro?
Right, yeah, because we didn't practice as a team at Boonesboro. We were out at Colonial Hills. So we would just get out there for, you know, to play for the most part. There just wasn't much practice out there. But, you know, Jimmy and I kind of – we knew if we focused on our own thing that it would not only help us individually, but it would help the team as well.
Yeah. Can you take us a little bit through your experience of playing in VSGA junior events and how that kind of maybe shaped your game a little bit? I know you played well in the junior match play and the, mm-hmm. and the stroke play and things like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, the VSGA was great. Obviously, you know, playing in the option of having to play in a match play tournament is definitely pretty cool. It's just a different experience than stroke play. You know, would have liked to have had a little bit more success toward the end of my junior career, but, you know, love playing in the state open, state am. Never played great in the state am, but I don't know. Match play is just difficult, and you know, anybody can beat anybody. So, it definitely helped kind of shape me as a golfer, and knowing everybody at every event was pretty cool as well. So,
yeah. I know you went to Virginia Tech. I mean, what was it about Virginia Tech that appealed to you, and why were you interested in playing for that program?
Yeah, so Virginia Tech was a pretty last minute option for me. It ended up working out well, obviously, but you know, number one, I knew a lot of guys on the team, which the comfortability aspect there definitely helped. I just felt like I would kind of fit right in rather than having to fit in myself some other way. Beautiful campus, you know, playing at the river course every day is pretty awesome as well. You know, it was definitely a cool 5-year experience for sure.
What were some of your favorite memories there at Tech?
Honestly, just like traveling and stuff. There's, you know, a lot of stories that we, you know, shared from previous years when, you know, Trevor and Johnson and all of them were on the team. And just the camaraderie that we all had as a team was pretty awesome there. And, you know, as a team, we didn't have a ton of success in college. I was lucky enough to make regionals my last year, which was pretty cool because, you know, your goal in college is to not just, you know, you want to win nationals. That's the ultimate goal. I felt like we had, as a team, we had the talent to, you know, be up there. We just never quite got that far. But, you know, it was an awesome learning experience, and I continue to learn every day since I've been out.
Fun to be on a campus too with, you know, vibrant football program.
Oh yeah. That I didn't mention that definitely helped. I mean, the games were spectacular. I tried to get to as many of them as I could, and now looking back on it, I wish I would have gone to, you know, not only football, but went to basketball, just started going to just about every sporting event just because I mean, the atmosphere there is incredible. So
was going professional after college, was that kind of a no-brainer for you?
No-brainer. You know, It just always been a dream of mine, you know, regardless of how I was playing, you know, coming up into it or whatnot. I just felt like once I kind of got out on my own, things would change because I worked pretty hard. I tried not to be a perfectionist, but I am to an extent. But I think that can help in some ways. So I've just been kind of, you know, learning and working on the mental side of things, because at this point, from what I've noticed, it's the mental side is where guys are excelling, especially at this level of golf. So
yeah, I mean, it seems like everybody can play
right.
at this level.
Everybody can play. Everybody hits it relatively the same. Putting is very important for sure. But even within the last 6 months to a year, you see, you know, at least guys, PGA Tour guys, they're just coming out and saying, you know, their mental struggles and what they've done to work on it. And, you know, I do listen to a lot of that stuff just because I like to learn from other guys as well.
Do you work with the sports psychologist at all?
Not yet. I've thought about it. I don't think it would hurt at all. But I do have, you know, I have Elliot here, who's one of the teaching pros here, that me and him, he tells me straight up how he wants to tell me things, which I like, whether it's, you know, hurtful or supportive or whatnot, I don't really care. But he's been pretty good in that aspect as well.
Yeah. How much did you talk to some of the other tech guys like Mark Lawrence and McLean and Trevor Cohen, Joey Lane, guys like that, to kind of prepare yourself for the transition into the professional game?
Yeah, so definitely Mark was probably the number one guy that, you know, kind of walked me through the whole process. I know he's still recovering from a wrist injury, should be back soon. But Trevor Cohen probably recently, just because, you know, obviously he has PGA Tour card last year. He's back out there with me right now. So he's a pretty good guy to ask questions to, because he had a very successful college career, obviously a lot of success already. So like I said, it's just learning from those guys will only make you better.
What's kind of the biggest piece of advice you gleaned from those guys?
I had a lot of expectations coming out at first, which is, you know, easy to do. You want to win as soon as you get out there, but you do have to realistically look at it and, you know, look at the guys who are out there. I mean, there's guys in their mid to late 40s who are still out there grinding, and I'm still 24, and it's like experience is a huge deal in that, you know, being in another country and just dealing with all the other factors that isn't just golf. So, you know, my time will come. I don't know when it's going to be, hopefully sooner rather than later, but it's been a fun experience so far.
Yeah. Seems like there are a ton of really good college players grinding on those mini tours, like the G Pro. I know you went out and won something on that tour. I mean, what's the biggest challenge of kind of getting out of that level of golf and then competing at the higher level that you're at now?
So, it was nice to have some early success on that tour, just because, I mean, the competition is, you know, very close to what it is on the Korn Ferry Tour. Scores are typically pretty low, and I was lucky enough to win an event early out of college, and then Mark and I won one last fall. But to be honest with you, it's a lot of luck, if you want to know the truth, because I know one of my best buddies who plays out here is a very good player, and he's, you know, his late 20s, but it's hard to, you know, do what you need to do at the right time. Obviously, I was very lucky to get through Q school and all that, but I mean, everybody's good. Like, everybody's good. So I would say just right place, right time is one of the hardest things, but it's definitely the most truthful thing for sure.
Yeah. Let's go back to the State Open last year here. I know you play out of here a lot. Felt like a home course for you. I mean, what did that win do for you confidence-wise and just as far as jump-starting the rest of your season?
Yeah. I had a lot of confidence coming into it. They always set it up a little more difficult than it typically plays, but, you know, a win, regardless of what it is, whether it's the State Open or a Korn Ferry Tour event or a G Pro event, a win's a win, and it always feels good. And, you know, I try to ride the momentum as long as I can, especially after something like that. So I was glad to get it done. It was a stressful last few holes, but it was very enjoyable for sure.
I was going to say, is there something to be said for just, especially on a Sunday or a final round, putting yourself in the best position possible, because you never know what's going to happen. Obviously, you got a little bit of luck on your side.
Right.
A couple of guys fell apart at the end. But you put yourself in the right position.
Right. I mean, I think I've had enough experience by now to, you know, when you're in contention, it's just a completely different aspect. You know, you're in some instances, like, you might be trying to hold on, but for me, I had to just either make birdies or I was going to not have a chance. So, dealing with the pressure is fun. I wasn't great under pressure earlier in my career, but as I've gotten older, it's almost like I'm trying to embrace it, because that's what you want. Like, you want the pressure, you want the nerves, and, you know, if you can somehow turn it into a positive thing, I think it can only work in your favor.
What was that like? You're standing up here, right, at the balcony, watching. What was that like, just going? You don't want to root against guys, right?
Right.
But at the same time, you're trying to win.
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, it's golf. Like, you know, obviously in the back of my mind, you want somebody to stumble coming down the end. But, you know, either way, I was happy with how I finished. And I knew the putt on 18 probably would have, at worst, maybe gotten to a playoff. But, just the cards fell in my favor, fortunately.
Yeah. You know, it seems like the state opener really put you on a pretty good springboard for your fall. Mm-hmm. Take us through that week that you were medalist at the second stage of Q school and everything that went into that. Obviously, it was a huge for getting you status
right,
this year.
For sure. So, yeah, I mean, it was a very long week. Pretty sure played well the first round, and then we got a ton of rain. You know, waited and waited, didn't know if we were going back out there. And obviously, my expectations were to win going into the event, but you know, I would have still been satisfied with the top, you know, 15 or however many they take to the final stage. But I was just when you're playing well and you're in a situation like that, you're more thinking about how low can I go rather than let's just hang on and try to not mess up. And that's something that I've struggled with in the past, and I'm sure a lot of people can say the same thing. But it was nice to be, you know, in the final group the last day. All three of us were pretty clear of the field. And it was a pretty interesting last hole, or last few holes, to be honest with you, because I was one back going to the final hole, and I was playing with my buddy who he didn't really – we both of us didn't really know till the last day that if we won the golf tournament or tied, we would have, you know, locked up some starts for the Corn Ferry Tour. So, 18 was crazy. We were kind of fortunate to, you know, he kind of messed up, and then I missed a short putt to win it outright. But looking back on it, if I would have looked over to him and been like, you want to tie this hole, he probably would have said yes, which is kind of cool. But, you know, that did a lot for me because, you know, 4 days of golf, it's hard to put four rounds of golf together from just what I've experienced the last 3 months. And hopefully I'm trending toward that track again.
Yeah. Is it hard to explain to the average person just what kind of grind Q school is? Just the sheer volume of players that are trying to get those 45 or so spots?
Oh, yeah. It's nuts. I mean, yeah. I was listening to Scotty Scheffler's interview the other day, and they asked him what's the most nervous he's ever been on a golf course, and he went back to Q school. It's more or less like you try not to think about it like this, but, I mean, it's just how it is. You are playing for your career. You're playing for a job. And it's, you know, life's not over if you don't make it, because guys grind through Q school 10, 15 years at a time. Compared to now, you know, hopefully I can get the rest of the season, but I just feel like if you have the guaranteed starts, you're kind of just freed up and you're playing to just win golf tournaments. And, you know, it's not about the money. It's not about, you know, it's just about getting to the next level is really all it is. So I've tried to, you know, wrap my head around the side of things that, you know, are the important things, like winning to me. So,
yeah. How much had you traveled internationally before getting your Corn Ferry status?
Never. So okay. January was the first two events were in the Bahamas, which was a cool experience. And then that, you know, four after that, I mean, it's quite a different experience. Just travel wise and not having a car and having to rely on a shuttle to get you to the golf course. There's just so many outside factors that people don't really think about. So it was nice to plan an event back in the United States last week. That was pretty cool.
I'm going to say it seemed like Bahamas, Panama, Colombia, yeah. Argentina, Chile. Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot, especially when you're trying to get your bearings on a professional tour to begin with. You're dealing with all the logistics. I mean, how do you just kind of mentally keep the golf separate from all the other stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, and to be honest with you, I didn't do too well with it, just because there were, you know, you're trying to figure out, you know, food and what the right things to eat are, and the golf course does provide some of that, obviously, but I just think that it's one of those things, again, where once you do a round of it once, like if I had to do that next year, I think it would go a lot better. But yeah, I think it's just nice. I'm so used to, you know, showing up to the golf course when I want to and just being able to go wherever I can. So, you know, it's only going to get better from here. And, you know, I need to, if I have to go back internationally, I need to embrace it and not think of it as, you know, this sucks and whatnot. So,
yeah, I know you had some tough early weeks, but it looked like the scoring started to come around the Astara in Colombia, mm-hmm. what, 70-69?
Yeah,
you still missed a cut, but
right.
But it looked like it started to trend better. What kind of changed after those first 3 weeks that helped
just,
you get going?
To be honest with you, I'm normally pretty good at, you know, bogey avoidance, and out there, that's really all it is, because you're going to make birdies. But it's just kind of, I was not scoring well. I was hitting it fine, not obviously quite like I'd like to, but, you know, you have to give yourself as many looks out there as you possibly can, because eventually putts are going to start to fall. It's just hard to play from behind out there, from what I've realized, and I found myself to where, whether I was shooting two or three under the first round or two or three over, the first 6 weeks, the second round, I was playing to make the cut rather than trying to play to win the golf tournament. So especially last week, it was nice to get off to a good start, because the second round I was like, all right, I'm going to try to be in the lead after round two, which is a completely different mindset. So
yeah. Anyway, so I was going to go to that last week. Seven starts, seven missed cuts. I know that's not the way you wanted to start things, but how'd you kind of handle the pressure internally of just going out there and shooting one good round on Thursday and putting yourself in position to make that first cut?
For sure. So Peter Gasparini actually caddied for me last week, and I think that definitely started the week well. Just I've had a Cameron Moore caddy for me in the Bahamas, which was cool, and then the events in between there, I had to get local guys who, you know, don't speak a lot of the English, and, you know, you're worried about them rather than worried about playing golf and playing well. So Peter definitely lightened me up a little bit, and I tried to embrace it and just have fun with it. And obviously things went my way the first round. Just actually switched putters before last week, and it, you know, seemed to start working out well. So hopefully I can ride that throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, Peter still have a mustache, or has he gone away?
He's got it. Or no, he's got the full thing.
Oh, he's got full beard now.
Yeah, still no hair on top of it. Yeah, but that's all right.
Was there just kind of a big sense of relief when you looked at that leaderboard after Friday, and you're like, all right, I'm in. Right. I'm in for the weekend. Going to make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a pretty cool. I kind of had a crazy second round, lots of birdies and lots of mess ups, but I think I was like 5 under going into the last hole, and I was playing with Mason Williams, who West Virginia guy, Virginia Carolina's team, several years back. And we were both the same thing going in 18, and we both actually, you know, chipped in for eagle on 18 in front of several hundred people, which was pretty cool. So that kind of just summed up the first 2 days of like, all right, like, it's very fun to be in contention. Like, playing in front of people is awesome, and, you know, it gave me a lot of confidence going into the weekend for sure.
Do you ever have any doubt creep in after the start of the season that maybe you weren't cut out for this or anything like that?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I've honestly definitely been struggling with it for sure, just because, I feel like I'm swinging it better than ever and putting it better than ever. I just haven't seen the results, which, I mean, that's just the name of the game. But I'm just trying to tell myself that, once again, like, golf is hard. My time will come. Don't know when it's going to be, but I mean, you just have to keep looking forward and not looking at, oh, I just missed the last 6 cuts. Like, I need to be grateful that I have another start to try to prove myself. So that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it ends up T37. You cash your first paycheck. Do you kind of feel that's positive momentum going forward, something to build on here in the next week or so?
Yeah, for sure. I putted very well last week, and earlier in the year I hadn't been. I feel like that frees up every part of the game, because you don't feel like you have to hit it close or anything. But last week was the first, you know, legit big long golf course that we played, which I like, you know. And the international events, you didn't really know what you were going to get. Several of the courses were solid, but next week is long, rip driver everywhere, big green. So I think the scores will be low next week, which is good, because I'm putting well and I'm, you know, hoping for a decent finish there too.
Yeah. So take us through what your status is right now. And I know there's a reshuffle at some point or reorder in the points rankings. So where are you right now as far as starts for the rest of the season?
Right. So after I won second stage, I guess technically I had full status, which was the first 8 guaranteed starts. So there's a reshuffle after next week's event, and I probably know just as much as you do on what exactly I need to do next week. But I know just getting points is a big deal. So, you know, obviously a win is in the back of my mind, just because, you know, I'm a very confident player when I can see that the game is trending and whatnot. So, looking forward to next week, and just going to focus on playing good golf is all I can really do.
When you get an off week like this, what's your practice plan? What kind of things do you focus on as far as keeping your game sharp?
Yeah, so, I mean, at least for me, it's hard to, you know, take days off or take the time off that I need. I mean, I just played 7 straight days of golf last week. I got back on Monday, I think I took about 2 days off, but I'm ready to, if the body feels good, I'm ready to just get back at it and start trying to figure things out again, which is, I guess, a good thing. Rest is very important, and I've tried to, you know, understand that because it's very hard on the body, and, you know, stretching and working out, and I try to do a lot of that stuff when I'm back here, just because at least internationally working out was difficult, and just doing the things you needed to do. But I think now that we're back in America for the rest of the year, it'll definitely help.
Yeah. When you sit back and look at the first part of the season, what things do you need to improve on the most in your game to kind of keep it moving forward?
I would definitely say, you know, hitting – it's not necessarily like you're hitting a bunch of 7-irons in the par fours. It's more of like just the guys I play with who have played well have just hit, you know, lots of greens. Like I said earlier, giving themselves a lot of looks, and, you know, every now and then they'll hit a wedge to nothing to have a tap in. And I've always driven the ball well enough and far enough to, you know, compete out there for sure. So, but from what I learned last week, I didn't quite have my stuff, you know, tee to green, but I putted phenomenally, which is basically the name of the game. And, you know, whoever's putting the best that week is probably going to be in contention. Yeah. So,
what's kind of your long-term goal for this season? I know you want to win every time you tee it up, but what in your mind constitutes a successful season here for first year out there?
I mean, after the start, I would be very glad to just be able to have the opportunity to play in the rest of the events for the rest of the season. Just for me, like, knowing that if I do lock that up, I just think, you know, because it's 24, 26 events in a year, like, eventually – I'm going to see myself at the top of the leaderboard more often. And, you know, obviously a win puts you in a very good spot to get a PGA Tour card. But, you know, if I can just build off of realistically, like, getting top 25s and top 10s and whatnot, I think it'll go a long ways. But, you know, the leaderboards are so bunched up out there that, you know, for instance, last week my last round wasn't going well, but I made 2 birdies coming in, which was more of a bigger deal than I probably thought it was. So, you know, Pete told me to hang in there and whatnot, because 60th is a lot different than 37th out there, when you're, especially when you haven't made a cut. So, you know, just trying to stay in the present out there and just have fun with it, for sure.
Yeah. Well, before we head out here, anybody on your team you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I mean, I've, like, golf team or just
your golf team, all the whole team.
Whole team. Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of people that have been, you know, behind me, especially after a rough start. You know, Elliot out here, Jason Bale, who is my swing coach, who I've been working with, and, you know, my girlfriend, parents, friends here. You know, everybody reminds me of how good I am, and, you know, they've seen it. I've seen it. It's just hard to, when you're in a rut like you have been, that hopefully I'm out of now, it's hard to think positively. I mean, even Elliot out here can, you know, see the difference in thought when I get back after a bad week or when I get back after a good week. It's just kind of a different, you know, a different train of thought that I have, which, you know, everybody deals with that stuff. But it's been a pretty cool year so far. And, you know, as long as the people on your side kind of stay on your side, then it definitely is going to go a long ways for sure.
Yeah. So. All right, well, you know you got a lot of people back here rooting for you. So
absolutely.
Keeping up on leaderboards.
Make y'all proud.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks a lot for your time today, Connor. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Connor for carving some time out of his schedule for this interview. Great insight on what life is really like trying to work one's way up to the PGA Tour, and it ain't easy, folks. Some key things to remember as the season progresses. The top 30 players in the season-long Korn Ferry Tour standings earn PGA Tour cards for 2025. The top 156 players earn automatic entry into the 2024 Korn Ferry Tour Finals, a 4-tournament series that begins in late August. Field size is cut after each event, from 156 to 144 to 120, and finally to 75 players for the no-cut Korn Ferry Tour Championship in October. Burgess's T37 finish last week earned him his first points of the season, and he currently sits tied for 140th on the points list, So there's plenty of work to be done, but he's confident last week's performance will be the one to jumpstart his drive toward the Korn Ferry Tour Finals. Head to PGAtour.com to keep up with Connor's progress throughout the rest of the season. We wish him the best of luck. That'll do it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for understanding. And until next time, so long.